You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
Hello, listener of The Majority Report. Just a reminder, The Majority Report has been sponsored all month by Credo Mobile. Credo Mobile fights hard to enact progressive change and defeat regressive policies through their powerhouse Credo Action Network of more than 3 million activists. Today is the final day for the Credo Mobile Majority Report special offer. You go to credomobile.com/Sam, and you can get up to $350 credit on your Credo bill for switching over from your current provider, and 25% off your first 2 years of data, and that is total unlimited data. Head over there now. Credo has raised over $75 million since 1985 for progressive nonprofit groups like the Rainforest Action Network, the Democracy Now! ACLU. Credo is the largest corporate donor to Planned Parenthood. 1% of every dollar that Credo makes in revenue goes to support those progressive nonprofits. In addition, I told you about Credo Action. Go to credomobile.com/Sam. Today at midnight is the final day to get this deal, folks. Check it out.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Thursday, October 31st, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's Halloween, everybody. And today on the show, we've got Matt, that soda. Careful with the soda. You've got a soda there, don't you? You could pour it on the computer. You could pour it on the computer. No, wait. Don't pour it on the computer. It could cross the internet signals and people won't get our show. It's possible they could get some other type of show, like, for instance, a conservative show. This one's a liberal. People would think that, oh, my God, what's going on? Is this some type of parody or something? But, in fact, because you spilt the soda on the computer, they would be getting some type of like mirror image of the show. Oh my God, the soda's spilling!
Sorry, boss.
And we are back on the Ken, Ken, and Ken show. I'm the Deuce here with Ira and Rex. Folks, last night I found one of my new favorite songs. And I was watching the television. The song came on. And I broke down in tears because it reminded me of an America that we no longer have. One where my kids will be growing up under the jackbooted thuggery of a dictatorship, regulations on everything we do. Apparently, yesterday, the head of Health and Human Services is now talking about mandated pregnancy for men via the Obamacare, and I got up from my chair And we just got a new all-leather easy chair area, and I went in and I kissed my children, and I cried. I cried in their room. And one of my children woke up, and, "Daddy, why are you crying?" And I couldn't explain to them. And I want to play that song right now because, Rex, you have that queued up? I want to play this song because this brings back an America that we used to know, where we were strong and where the NFL wasn't trying to make everyone into ladies. Play the song.
He's a 20-year straight, get to work on time. He's loved one woman for all his life. Everybody knows he ain't just tough, he's strong, strong. He'll pick you up and won't let you down. Rock solid inside out, somebody you can trust. Steady as the sun, ain't nothing gonna knock him off the road.
The all-new 2014 Chevy Silverado. Strong for all the roads ahead.
He's strong.
There was a time in this country when we were strong.
Ain't that the truth?
And now we're weak. We see the idea that we all now, as men, have to carry maternity coverage. According to in our health insurance, because of this jackbooted thuggery on this country that used to be free.
I'll tell you what, I went to school in Massachusetts, you know, and one day at assembly, they had all the kids there. We were all there, and they said, "Raise your hand if you're gay." And I didn't raise my hand because I wasn't gay. I didn't know there was anything wrong with
being gay. Peer pressure, trying to turn you into gay.
We were sent to detention because those of us that did raise their hands. So I saw what was coming with Obamacare.
That's right. Now, one thing I want to talk about this. Let's play. We got to play this Kathleen Sebelius and the wonderful representative Renee Elmers nails Kathleen Sebelius yesterday.
Is that how you say her name? I always thought it was Sebelius.
Sebelius. It doesn't matter. She's not in Kansas anymore. She was in Washington, D.C. That cesspool of just putrid dictatorship.
Not a communist before, a communist now.
Tell me about it. So here is the wonderful representative Renee Elmers. She nails Kathleen Sebelius. And this is just the beginning, folks. First, you're going to have to get coverage if you're a man for maternity. And then, how many steps is it until you're being forced to carry to term a baby in yourself as a man?
Oh, trust me, they're working on it.
Let's go play this.
Now, you know, we're talking about open enrollment, but it's forcing the issue, is it not? That if an American does not have health care coverage, they are essentially breaking the law. Is that not correct?
If someone can afford coverage and has that option and chooses not to buy coverage, they will pay a fee on their
and it is a law, so therefore they are breaking a law.
Tax.
Okay, you also brought up the issue when you were in Kansas that you fought against discriminatory issues. Now, as far as the essential health benefits, correct me if I'm wrong. Do men not have to buy maternity coverage?
Policies will cover maternity coverage for the young and healthy.
Including
men. Under 30-year-olds will have a choice also of a catastrophic plan, which has no maternity coverage.
The catastrophic, but yes. The men are required to purchase
An
maternity.
Insurance policy has a series of benefits, whether you use them or not, and one of the benefits will be
and that is why the healthcare
mental health
are increasing
coverage,
as high, because we're
freedom.
Forcing them to buy things that they will never need. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
The individual policies cover families. Men often do need maternity coverage for their spouses and for their Families, yes.
Single male, age 32, does not need maternity coverage. To the best of your knowledge, has a man ever delivered a baby?
In a lady's time has expired.
Has a man ever delivered a baby? Has a man ever delivered a baby? I don't think so, but Kathleen Sebelius doesn't seem to have an answer for that.
Well, trust me, what they're doing with the milk cartons and the anti-bullying campaign, that's the next step, and that's what Congressman Elmers can't say.
We're all going to have to carry babies now. And, Rex, you've got the same situation now. Listen to what Rex is going to with a loss of liberty that we have in this country.
I'm under 26, and so you know how Obamacare has that, you know, I could be on my parents' health care plan. And so my parents put me on the health care plan.
You have no liberty.
But I don't want to be.
Okay, Rex
so
is not going
leave.
To have... Well, no, he can leave, but he cannot live in a world where he is not allowed to be on his parents' health care. He now cannot have the freedom of not being on his parents' health care unless... Because the option is there. There's no freedom. It's a freedom question.
And, you know, I was watching a documentary on the Sci-Fi Channel at midnight. And, you know, another
liberal
thing is that... What?
Liberal media.
Yeah, NBC.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of shocking, actually, because even they admitted on the Sci-Fi Channel that, you know, who created the idea of mandating that kids be on their parents' health care plans? The Iranians. Think
of
about
course.
It.
Of course. This is... It's just a... Just a little bit closer to what we're facing in this country. We've got a lot of things to talk about, but first we're going to go to a guest. This woman wrote a piece. She's a syndicated columnist. Her name is Tina Dupuy. And she's written a column about how bad poor people have it in this country with their air conditioners and their TVs. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to her in just a moment. We're back on the Ken Show. I'm the Deuce on the phone. It's a pleasure to have on the program syndicated columnist Tina Dupuy. She is she writes on I guess in a lot of papers across the country. It's a little bit scary from our perspective. Tina, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
It's the Deuce.
Hi, the Deuce.
Now, Tina, you had a piece called, you had one piece called Read More Than This Headline. And I went and I checked some of your other headlines. One was For Shame, For Poor Shaming. What does that mean?
That was a column about how conservatives have a tendency instead of... you know, helping people get out of poverty, they just want to make them feel bad about themselves for being poor.
And so do you think that we should make people feel good about being poor?
I think that it's not a moral issue. I think that it is an economic issue, and the two should not be confused.
Well, who said anything about morals? I mean, do you want people to be poor?
Of course I don't.
Okay, well, then why would you tell them it's good to be poor?
I'm not telling anybody it's good to be poor. I'm telling them that they should not have to feel bad. It's not because they are bad people that they are poor. The two are not the exact same thing, that there are circumstances which people are born into poverty and different institutions that enable poverty, people to stay where they are economically, like the fact that we no longer have upward mobility.
Wait a second. Wait. Have you ever been poor?
Yes.
Was it good?
No.
Okay. I think we can agree. I don't get it. Hold on. Ira wants to say something.
Hey, Tana, I got a question for you. A story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So back in grade school, I knew a kid. We used to call him Runny Nose Mike because his family had no heating. And there were holes in his shoe. And so anyways, I ran into him a couple years ago, and he's a rental agent at a Kurtz motor car. He's got a reasonable shirt on. He told me, he said, if you guys didn't call me Runny Nose Mike and make fun of my shoes, I would be homeless today. So what do you say to that? I think that's help, if you ask me.
So you're saying that tormenting someone as a child and making them feel bad for being poor was a motivating factor?
That's exactly right. It's motivation. Whatever happened to I know in the Muslim communist America that maybe you're interested in, motivation's a bad thing. But traditionally, it's helped people in this country.
So if I'm hearing you right, schoolyard chants should be public policy of how to get people out of poverty.
See, that's the difference. Is that you liberals want everything to be a policy. I don't think Ira's saying that we should have government reach into the schools and force it. It happens naturally. So what's wrong with that?
I didn't need government to tell me to call him Runny Nose Mike, I'll tell you that much.
Right, but when we're talking about policy, which is what my column was about, was policy, then yes, we're talking about government policy as opposed to privatizing public shaming and as a motivating factor.
Well,
and this is actually like talking about what we can do as a nation for the people who are living. We are still the richest nation in the world. And we have 48
bingo. Okay. We're the richest nation in the world. Let me ask you a question, Tina. How many people who live in Africa have air conditioning?
I have no idea.
Right. Okay. How many have it in this country?
I'm assuming you do since you asked the question.
Pardon?
I said, I'm assuming you do since you asked the question.
Virtually none. Virtually none. But in this country, most people have air conditioning. So the point is that the poor people in this country, we call them poor, but they're not really poor.
No, they're really poor.
Well,
they're really poor. Their life expectancy is lower. They're living in the, they're contributing to the economy. We no longer even have the working poor. We have the working impoverished. People who are forced to be on the public dole because they're not actually able to feed themselves while they are working full time and sometimes more than full time, up to 60 hours a week.
Okay, let me ask you this. That's great, but let me ask you this: How many rich people win the lottery?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's mostly poor people.
Oh, right, because if you're rich, why would you play the lottery?
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you this, okay? In your column, on the first page of your column, you say, this is the land of opportunity. If you're not wealthy, it's because you're lazy. You also said, lack of wealth indicates lack of morality. Now, you said this. We didn't say this, but I do sort of agree with what you're saying.
Right, I said that in sarcasm. I was quoting people who say things like that, and I was using it as a literary device called irony.
Okay, there's no quotes around it.
Literary device? Is that part of Obamacare?
Yeah, I guess we're all going to be forced to use that now. But there's no quotes on there. It just says it.
Yes, because in context, it's pretty obvious.
Okay.
We didn't really read the whole thing.
All right. Well, all right. Well, let me ask you this then. All right. So, okay. Did you did you hear what Kathleen Sebelius said yesterday?
I watched some of the hearing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you think men should be forced to pay for maternity coverage?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't believe in
men benefit from maternity coverage. Everyone has to be born.
Are they born by a man? What about a 32-year-old single male?
They have at one point in their life been born, correct.
So they need maternity care insurance? Okay.
Yes, they do.
Okay, and so where do you stand on Benghazi?
I think that was an unfortunate incident in a sea of unfortunate incidents.
Oh, whoa! That's a great literary device. But don't you think that we should be investigating it?
We did investigate it, and there's also a bunch of other. We've had other targets.
She's getting her talking points from Axelrod there, you can tell.
And there's been, I think, over 130 since 2001. So, yes, I think it should be investigated, and I hope it doesn't happen again. It was horrible.
Uh-huh. And are you, what about the administration shutting down access to Benghazi survivors, as it says on the front page of humanevents.com today?
I'm not aware of that story.
That's convenient. Okay, so let's just get back to your piece here. You know that we have unemployment payouts since 2008 are at a record level. The federal government, through our tax dollars, has paid $252 billion in benefits during the recession. So how much more are we going to have to pay for poor people?
Well, unemployment is not a benefit. I mean, you pay into when you are employed and you are paying into unemployment insurance, and then when you become unemployed, by the virtue of it being insurance, then that's when you actually draw from those benefits. People who, like myself, who are independent contractors, I don't pay into it, and I also don't get out of it. So that's not a benefit for poor people. What we are paying, we have food stamps have spiked because we're in the middle of a great recession.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not out of it, mm-hmm. and people have lost their jobs.
So you don't think that if you're getting free food, you don't think that that's some type of disincentive? For instance, let me ask you this, Tina. If I was to give you a bunch of free food and then some free housing, free health care, free car, free cell phone, care of President Obama, then tell me, why would you go to work?
Well, let me turn this back on you. If you would take away my food, my housing, my health care, then what would I do?
Okay, well, who's taking it away?
You said you were.
No, I didn't say that. You said that. I said,
no,
if
said
I was
that
to
you
give
were,
you.
You were to take that away. Right. So... What do people who have nothing, what do they do?
Well, I mean, why do I have to pay for them?
Right. If there's
I'm working, why do I have to pay for them?
Because that's the basis of society. That's the basis of civilization, is having to pay for roads, is having to pay for people who are less fortunate.
That's what you say.
That's the whole basis of community, and that's the whole basis of civilization.
That's your vision.
No, that's,
but
that's,
why
no,
not
that's
go,
the,
then
that
why
is,
did the Soviet Union
actually
fall?
Actually, how that works.
Why did the Soviet Union fall?
That's actually a complicated question. It's because they were spending all their money on nukes instead of feeding people.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true, actually.
I don't think it is.
And let me ask you this.
Yeah, hungry people are prone to doing desperate things. They want people to actually be fed.
Now your buddy, your best buddy in the world, Harry Reid, is trying to make the Senate vote on making it necessary for us to hire gay people. What's your take on that?
I think every American should be treated equally. It says it in the Constitution.
We don't have a law that forces employers to hire straight people, do we?
No, because straight people are not discriminated against for their sexuality, and they shouldn't be.
Well, but they're discriminated against other things. Maybe if know how to do the job.
Right. That's not discrimination. That's incompetency. Completely different issue.
Well, it's
not
discriminating against my incompetence.
Yes.
Okay.
It's smart policy.
Oh, so you're just picking and choosing who you want to discriminate against. You like you want gay people to be hired.
By the basis of discrimination, that would
so
be a
so that's
true
what you're doing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Deuce.
And do you agree with Louis Farrakhan that Jews are evil?
I would say no.
Are you aware that Louis Farrakhan is friends with Reverend Wright?
I was not aware of that.
Okay, well, it's true. And are you aware that Reverend Wright was President Obama's priest?
Yes, I am aware that he was his priest.
Okay.
Explain.
So, do you agree with those people?
No, I don't believe that I have to agree with everybody who I am friends with in order to be friends with them.
Oh, okay, so you're friends with Reverend Wright.
You're friends with Reverend Wright, or is it Louis Farrakhan?
No, but I'm saying the principle of like trying to smear someone with someone who they met 20 years ago or someone who's a friend of a friend is kind of an exhausting and fruitless pursuit.
You're from New York, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on Wednesday this week, the New Yorker magazine printed something from David Denby where he wrote that Ted Cruz has large ears, a straight nose with a fleshy tip. How do you justify that? What if that was written about a Democrat or a Jewish person?
Right, and what if it was written by the Texas Monthly and I were in Houston?
Okay. You tell me, would you agree with it?
probably not.
Right.
If it's not my byline,
so you denounce, you're denouncing the New Yorker.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Fair enough. At least you're consistent about it. It's nice to meet someone who is a lib and is principled. So that's good.
Principled. All right. Lib.
Did you condemn Tom Daschle and Harry Reid calling President Bush Hitler? Did you condemn that too?
Who calls who Hitler?
Senator Reid and Senator Tom Daschle both called former Senator Daschle both called President Bush Hitler. We've documented that relentlessly on the show.
I'm not in the business of denouncing every time someone uses a Hitler reference.
Dick Durbin called the FBI Nazis.
I think I would do nothing at all day long except for denounce people.
Okay.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz made fun of Pat Robertson's voice. that wasn't very civil.
Yeah, do you think we got hope and change?
Yeah, no, I think that I think conservatives are the victims of history. I really do. I mean, you poor people. At every turn someone's just saying something mean and it's tragic what has happened to conservatives.
Okay.
See,
okay, now what you're doing is you're using your literary device again on us, but you say we're poor people, and then you're mocking us, so you clearly know that's the best way to deal with poor people. Getting back to your piece.
I know, I'm poor shaming. Oh, my God, it's a perfect circle.
Well, all right, I'm glad we could come to some agreement. See, I'll let you have the last word.
I'm a hypocrite. You won.
Okay. All right.
Well, she said it, folks.
Okay, well, there it is. And here's another piece. First off, despite what Tina Duppy wants to talk about, there's a new Rasmussen report which shows that 43% of American voters believe the attack at Benghazi will hurt former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton should she decide to run for president. So apparently, not everybody believes with Tina Duppy. Let's go. Oh, let's. I want to talk about this story too, because this is just a perfect example. Now, Tina, she had no problem with the New Yorker saying that Ted Cruz has large ears and a straight nose with fleshy tip, which shines in camera lights before he talks to reporters. This is what they do. They attack personally. But I know that she would have a problem. Okay, here's a story. In Philadelphia, a guy wants to set up a Halloween exhibit on his lawn. And this is a perfect example of the political correctness that is happening all over this country. They're going to attack Halloween. They're going to attack Christmas. This is all part of their attack on Christians. George Vucelic has a yard in Delaware County in Philadelphia, or somewhere around there, I guess. I don't know. And he put up a skeleton on a maple tree. There's a noose around its neck. It's a plastic skeleton. And simply because the noose is attached to a neck and has a Obama-Biden t-shirt on it, now these liberals are protesting because they don't have a sense of humor. But of course, they got no problem with saying that Ted Cruz has large ears, a straight nose with a fleshy tip.
Last I checked, Vice President Biden, President Obama aren't skeletons. It's pretty clearly a joke. And this is what happened.
It's not a joke. It's Halloween, too. You can't put up Christmas trees. Then you can't put up Halloween stuff. Okay, we're going to take some phone calls.
I bet the kids will get
some. The shirt says Biden, too. It's no specific. Like, I bet specifically on somebody.
Right, but of course it's racist. But of course, we don't have any. There's no record of vice presidents, white vice presidents, being lynched. So why does everybody make it out to be racist?
But I'll tell you what. Go to that guy's house, kids. I bet you get some good candy. That's not a Michelle Obama vegetable treats house. You know what I'm saying?
And
you'll get some actual candies
there.
That's a
good point. That's a great. This is another store we got. Thanks for bringing that up.
All right. There's a story. And this is what's happening now in this country as we lose our liberty. A North Dakota woman is not giving out apples or toothbrushes or candy to people who are going to come to her house tonight for Halloween. She is sending a letter chiding parents of moderately obese kids, giving them a note. You are probably wondering why your child has this note. Have you ever heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child? Now, why do we have this? Why is this happening? Pretty easy to know. Because in a deal brokered by Michelle Obama between the Produce Marketing Association and the Partnership for a Healthy America, Sesame Street is now going to allow produce industry members to advertise for free on the program. This is all cronyism. Because Michelle Obama, who apparently has never given her kids any candy, said, just imagine what will happen when we take our kids to the grocery store and they see Elmo and Rosita and the other Sesame Street Muppets they love up and down the produce aisle. Imagine what it will be like to have our kids begging us to buy them fruits and vegetables instead of cookies, candy, and cake.
That's what they want. They want us all to be just some like sheep-like Muppets.
That's right. It's all part of the agenda.
Chairman Mao, when he was taking over China, said two things. He said, first you come from the mountains, then you go into the cities. That's like Obama going to Chicago from Hawaii. Then he said, no more candy and vegetables for snacks. You can look it up. It's history, folks. History they don't want you to know.
There's a new report out that says that Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, running in Virginia against Cuccinelli. It's all part of the Democrat Party ticket there. He's bought and paid for. That Terry McAuliffe is going to win in Virginia, and if he does, it's going to be because the state's Latino population is 630,000 people. About 214,000 are registered to vote. Two-thirds of them identify as Democrats with the Democrat Party. Also today, and if you think this is a coincidence, I've got Obamacare website to sell you.
It's a good one.
According to the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services, 474,000 of 580,000 illegal immigrants who have applied for the two-year temporary work visas, that's the President Obama's Fiat Dream program to provide amnesty to Latinos. They have 81% of applicants have been successful. Okay, two numbers. 474,000 illegal immigrants given amnesty and 214,000 registered to vote Latinos in Virginia. Coincidence? I don't think so. Play my favorite song, please, for a second. We'll take your phone calls at 646-257-3920. Any libs want to call in and talk about why this country should be weak or why it's good for us to have a dictatorship? Love to hear about it.
The song just brings it back. Just brings it back.
Yeah, one woman for all his life. But of course, the liberal media today is sending out a message that it's okay for gender confusion. Matt Lauer on the Today Show dressing like a woman.
Not just any woman, Pam Anderson.
He dressed like Pam Anderson. What happens, turn that off for a second. What happens when I wake up in the morning with my kids, we gather around to watch the Today Show, and I've got to explain to my kids, my third grader, why it's okay for a man to dress like a woman on TV? What am I supposed to say? My kid's already seen it. I can't say, it's just some type of prank. I mean, I guess because today's Halloween, I could say it's Halloween, but even still, once you allow that to happen on TV, it's going to happen in the schools. Then all of a sudden, we won't be able to bully kids because they want to dress up like girls.
Yeah, what if your son or your daughter wants to change their Halloween costume for today and dress up like the opposite sex?
Here's a good story about what's going on in Texas. Wendy Davis and her pink sneakers are running for governor of the state of Texas. And this is, I don't know why we have to deal with Hollyweird every day, but Molly Ringwald, who I don't think has done a movie since whatever it was, Breakfast Club, 47 years ago, came out and has said she is supporting the abortion-hungry Wendy Davis. And this is what she tweeted. Support this woman, the next governor of Houston, Texas. First of all,
lib education system at work.
Right.
Huh?
I wonder how many years she spent in public school.
Molly Ringwald.
Houston, Texas doesn't have a governor. It has a mayor.
And Molly Ringwald, she's got three kids of her own. How can she look into her kids' eyes and say she supports that abortion-hungry Wendy Davis?
What's gonna happen next? Janine Garoppolo is going to...
There's a name I haven't
heard
endorse, in quite some time.
The communist Bill de Blasio for governor of Poughkeepsie?
Speaking of that, de Blasio character, though, that there was that last debate last night.
Well, no, we're actually about to literally, in New York City, we're going to elect a communist, the Sandinista. I guess that's no problem. It doesn't bother anybody. You know, if
You're from New York?
I was in school today, instead of helping Runny Nose Mike not be a poor, disgusting kid anymore, we would probably all be forced to buy him clothes. Bill de Blasio wants.
Well, he wants to have everybody go into an indoctrination, pre-K, Obama-style indoctrination school, where you go in and you just got to do everything that dictator Obama wants you to do in pre-K. All right, let's take a phone call. Okay, you're calling from the People's Republic of Massachusetts. Who's this? Who's this? You call him from the People's Republic of Massachusetts. Who's this?
This is Carl. Go Sox.
Red Sox won last night.
Yeah, it was great. Hang out with my buddies. We hung around the streets all night. I'm a little tired.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised Obama didn't make you come in early.
Yeah, I call in because I look up every day and I just think China and Russia, they're just laughing at us, you know? Like, they're having a good laugh.
Oh,
all websites don't work, Deuce. And, how Bill Maher, he has his new rules. I don't like the guy, but he has his new rules.
He's right on Muslims, though.
Yeah, he's good on that one. But, new rule, if your website don't work, your budget gets cut. Right?
Yeah. That's the way it works in business. If your website doesn't work, your budget gets cut. You shut down. That's the way the market works.
Yeah, right. Whitehouse.gov is down. No more White House. No budget.
It's a good point. All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, dude.
All right, you got it.
We got some smart listeners.
It's going good.
That common sense would never fly in Washington.
No. There's no common sense there. It's basically been outlawed at this point.
You know, probably for all the people who made the website doesn't work, there's probably hosting sensitivity meetings right now, telling each other nice things, probably... trying to make them feel better about themselves like they do with kids that are bullied in school.
Yeah.
Probably Sebelius probably came in after the hearing yesterday. Obama probably sat her down, gave her some cookies, said, good job.
This just breaking on human events. Who has on a Kathleen Sebelius costume for Halloween?
Oh.
That's the only headline. But David Barton may be running, the Christian historian may be running for Senate in Texas. That's on the Blaze.
Oh, Lord, that would be wonderful, huh?
Have
an actual historian in the Senate, someone who understands the roots of this country, what makes it work, what makes it special.
That's the only way that we're going to we're going to get back to constitutional values in this country. Is if we get a Christian historian in the Senate.
You know, I just worry so much, though, because I just think, it's just we're under assault every day.
Yeah. Rex.
What did you think about that game last night? If you're going to mention it, we should talk about it. What did you think about the baseball game last night?
Well, I like the team much better Kurt was on.
Schilling.
Kurt Schilling was on there because he had good Christian values, and he would out there play with blood. I mean, he had blood on his leg, and he still played. I mean, that's back when we had this song meant something in this country.
Straight, get to work on time. He's loved one woman for all his life. Everybody knows he ain't just tough, he's strong, strong. He'll pick you up and won't let you down. Rock solid inside out. Somebody you can trust, steady as the sun. Ain't nothing gonna knock him off the road he's rolling on.
The all-new 2014 Chevy Silverado. Strong for all the roads ahead.
He's strong.
When I, that song gets me every time. And I think about what we've lost in this country. And I am afraid. Don't pour that soda. Rex, don't pour that soda on the soundboard, because it could destroy the internet. The internet stream.
Oh, no.
All right, Sam, I got the connection back up. We should be good.
Okay, yeah, that was one of the best interviews, I think, that we've ever done on this program. It is very rare that we have a chance to get a Nobel laureate on this program, one who also won the Nobel Prize for Economics as well.
No, I think so. Stiglitz, the way he was on, was interesting. There was also some kind of emotional poignance to it. Surprising.
Oh, yeah. I thought Stiglitz was great. And I also thought that Desmond Tutu had a lot to offer in that interview. It was a weird mix.
And then Krugman and Mandela coming on in the end. Jewish economist, South African human rights leader, Nobel laureate's theme of today's show really worked pretty well. It was amazing.
I got to admit, I had some concern that the four of them would be able to sort of mesh well. And frankly, I was surprised that our phones worked to be able to handle four luminaries like that. But
I think we have a new one for the best ofs.
Yeah, I would say so. And I have to say that when Taibbi joined the conversation, that rounded it up.
And then, you know, I did think clearly Janine doing, you know, Harris to wind it up.
I've never heard Mandela laugh that hard.
No, Mandela, I had no idea. Mandela is a huge fan of Janine Garofalo's Catherine Harris.
All right, folks. That is our, we're going to head into the better half of the program. Just a reminder, you can become a member of the Majority Report at majority.fm. And you have about 12 hours to get that Credo deal. Go to credomobile.com/Sam. If you're buying stuff, junk through Amazon, buy it through our Amazon link. We're going to take a break, head into the better half of the program, 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll be back after this.